Okay, welcome back to episode 9 of Pod on the Parish. The sun is shining. We've got a, well, heat wave coming up, and it's perfect timing. Bank holiday weekend is starting soon. And I'm also going on holiday down to Cornwall. It's apparently going to be 28 degrees down there, so I'm super excited. So today I have my guest speaker is Jamie from CCLA. How are you doing, Jamie?
John, I'm great. How are you? I'm very jealous. You've got a lovely weekend planned down in Cornwall, then.
Yeah, yes,
I have. Glorious and, yeah, very jealous indeed. No, I'm really well, thanks, John.
So where are you actually based? Are you near the beach?
I am actually, yeah. I'm about a 5-minute walk from the beach. I live on the Essex coast in a place called Thorpe Bay, which is sort of about 10, 15 minutes from Leigh-on Sea.
Cool.
Yeah, great.
How often do you get down the beach?
When the weather's like it is, try and get down there most mornings for a walk on the beach, actually.
Oh, sweet.
Which is lovely, yeah. It's great, you know.
Do you do any cold water swimming? So do you go for
a run? I don't. I like to say I do, but no, I don't. I've been in there a few times, actually, in the summer, and it is glorious, actually.
So does your local beach have the Boxing Day dip?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We often go for a walk on the beach on Boxing Day and sort of take a cup of coffee with us first thing in the morning. And yeah, there's lots of Boxing Day swimmers, but haven't tried it yet myself.
I do it every year, but yeah. Do it this Boxing Day. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about yourself, your role, how long you've been in the role and what you did before.
So actually, John, I've been at CCLA for just under 25 years. So kind of all I've ever known, really. I'm a client director there at CCLA. And for the viewers listening, CCLA stands for Churches, Charities and Local Authorities. So I work on the part of the LA side of CCLA. We call it the public sector side of CCLA. And for the viewers who don't know, CCLA are investment managers.
Oh, okay, so you're literally straight out of uni into CCLA, where you all do you look very young for your age?
That's very kind of you, John. I don't feel it, I must admit, but that's very kind of you. I just had my 45th birthday, so I joined there when I was early 20s. But yeah, coming up to 25 years, in fact.
So you're a lifer. You're CCLA.
Still loving it, I must say.
Cool. So, I mean, we see each other quite a lot on the road, so to speak, all at a bunch of events, SLCC events, ALC events.
Yeah.
We get little chats here and there. We get to know each other, but I actually don't know too much about you. So is there something about you that I don't know, that most people don't know? Have you got a little secret? I don't know.
I'm actually quite boring, actually, to be fair, John. One thing I would say, though, I have to drop this in. I am at the moment ecstatic because I am a proud Arsenal fan. So winning the Premier League, in fact, all of my friends and family were all delighted. It's fantastic. But one thing you might not know about me is as I've got older, I've got a real appreciation for gardening and nature, in fact. So where we live, we have like a brook outside of our house, which is beautiful. So last week we saw some ducks and their little ducklings walking along. We get egrets. And actually a couple of weeks ago, we had a green woodpecker on the lawn, which is pretty cool to be
fair. That is pretty cool.
All the flowers at the moment, they're in bloom. We've got beautiful peonies and rhododendrons. It's just nice being outside. We like being outside and sitting in the garden with a cup of coffee. You know, especially this time of year with this weather, it's delightful. So
yeah. It is weird. As you get older, you start getting into these things. Like I've got now I'm doing in our garden. We're lucky we've got a fairly large garden. But yeah, I'm not mowing certain sections off it, you know, to improve, make better insects. And like the last 3 years, I've been really trying to get some wildflowers absolutely cooking, you know. So this is my third season trying to really get a really good wildflower bed there. And my wife says, "What are you doing?" It's nice growing things, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And you get all the beautiful bumblebees and butterflies and things. So yeah, yeah. No, we do the same, actually. It's really nice. So, and also, you know, when you're getting a little bit older, when you sort of think to yourself at the weekend, should we go to a garden centre?
Yes.
I like
going to garden centres, but one thing is I don't like garden centre cafes. We were at one the other day. I was thinking we had to go because my daughter's boyfriend works there. But I was like, yeah, because they're always like, I just don't know, they're always really kind of, well, they're busy and hot.
They're always, you're spot on, they are always busy and they're always hot, and you always have to queue for like
Yeah,
15
yeah.
minutes.
Not great. But anyway, this is the perfect segue
Yeah.
into investing funds.
Sure. Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Anyway, yeah, so before we're going to jump into the webinar right now. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of people registered. I think it's almost 150 or so registered
Amazing.
to attend.
Amazing.
So we'll listen to your talk. And then after the talk, we'll have a little chat afterwards.
Yeah.
But what is the common mistake people usually make in terms of if they've got some spare cash? Basically, that's what
Yeah.
it's about. You've got some spare cash laying around, like a town and parish council, and you've
Sure.
got it in your normal bank, but you could do it, you could get it working for you. So what's the most common mistake you see?
Yeah, I suppose one thing we do here quite a bit, myself and the team, is that I think some potential clients therefore assume we only deal with large or interact with large principal authorities, which is not the case at all. So it's the whole of the public sector. And one thing we're proud of is irrespective of size, John. So everyone will get the same level of customer service from us.
Cool. Excellent. Okay. Well, let's jump on in and go and say hi to everybody.
CCLA and the Public Sector Funds. This podcast is for information only. It does not provide financial, investment, or other professional advice. The views expressed are those of the presenter and are not necessarily those of CCLA as a whole and may be subject to change. While the original presentation included slides and other material, this podcast is audio only. The funds that CCLA have available are subject to change and are set out on our website at www.ccla.co.uk. To make sure you understand whether any product is suitable for you, please read a fund's key investor information document and prospectus and consider the risk factors identified. Any forward-looking statements are based on our current opinions, expectations, and projections. Actual results could be significantly different. Please remember, past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results. The value of investments and the income you receive from them may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back less than you invest. We strongly recommend you get independent professional advice before investing. I'll just give you a background to me and to CCLA for some of you who don't know, and it's also nice to have a refresher. So I'm Jamie Charters. I am a client director at CCLA, working on the LA side of CCLA. So CCLA stands for Churches, Charities and Local Authorities. We say local authorities, we like to call it public sector, because we're not just dealing with councils, it's the whole of the public sector. So some of our client base can be things like, and there is a poster up there, I'm not sure if you can see, of ports and harbours, who are clients of ours. We have national parks, crematorium. So it's not just towns, parish and principal authority. So it's the whole of the public sector, which is good. So CCLA are in size around 15 billion. And we have a number which still sort of blows my mind, about 36,000 clients. And they can range anything from a pound up to sort of endowments with sort of 200 million. For our public sector side of the business, it's around 2.5 billion pounds with over, I think it's now over 1,200 clients who use our public sector funds. And kind of the cool part of that really is that around 800 or over 800 are town and parish councils, which is something we're really proud of. But I'll talk about that a little bit more. There are three funds for public sector clients, and I have to mention them all to you. I can't just use one or two. I have to give clients all the options of funds that are available to you if you choose to go down that path. I'll briefly touch on two, and the money market fund, I'll go into further detail. But I'll start with the middle one, which you may see, hopefully, as John's brought it up, the CCLA Cautious Multi-Asset Fund. Now, with this fund, you would need to take a medium to a long-term, probably long-term view of 3 to 5 years. It's a multi-asset fund, this one, and its kind of objective, if you like, is total return of inflation, which is CPI plus 2% over the long term. It's called cautious because it will not invest any more than 50% in equities. As I said, you would need to take a long-term view, and as you can imagine, with equity, so shares in companies, it can go up and down in value. And we are very much aware this is public money. The reason I'm mentioning this fund, previously the minimum was 1 million pounds. The fund has been restructured around, I think, around 2 years ago, and the minimum now is 1,000 pounds. Currently, there are about 33 clients in this fund, all principal authorities, bar one parish council. So if you know, this could be an option if you're looking to hold funds for the long term. But I would strongly recommend having a conversation with myself or the team before you make any decision. We can talk you through the options and the risks. The other fund is, and many of you will use this fund, especially if you probably come into Section 106 money, is the Local Authorities Property Fund. Again, with this fund, the value can go up and down over time. You would need to take a long-term view that we would say 5 years. It's actively managed UK commercial property. With this particular fund also, I should mention that as town and parish councils, you're classed as retail clients. To use this fund, you would need, and this isn't our rule, it's sort of governed by the FCA, if you like, you would need to opt up to become an eligible professional client. So you would need an independent IFA report to or questionnaire and a suitability report to use this particular fund. I want to touch in greater detail on the public. I saw there was a question on this on the chat already, which is good. The Public Sector Deposit Fund. Now, if I go back to May 2011, this fund was launched. That's been going for about 15 years. Now, I don't expect a show of hands, but I'm pretty sure many of you remember the Icelandic banking crisis. And it wasn't a good time where these banks were struggling to refinance short-term debt. Now, they were looking to see if there was any interest in us launching this short-term money market fund. So we class it as a fund really that was designed by the sector for the sector. Sounds slightly cheesy, but that's the sort of the tagline you like that we use on this fund. In sort of basic terms, so what is this fund, if you like? So it's a short-term money market fund with the objectives of security, liquidity, and yield. So what we're actually doing is all the monies are pooled together from the clients, and at the moment that's about just shy of 1.5 billion, and we are placing money with the banks and building societies. So, but these banks and building societies, going on, there was a question about sustainability earlier, and there is a paper on this I can send to the group. They undergo a thorough evaluation, which results in their inclusion in our approved list of financial institutions. So there's a thorough evaluation and process before we can use them. This particular slide will show the banks and building societies that potentially we could use. There's about 55 on the list. We won't use them all at any one time. It can be sort of 30 or 40. I'll cover that in a bit more detail, but so the fund itself is, because we're not a bank, it's not a guaranteed investment. So the fund itself is not covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, but it has a AAA rating, money market fund rating with Fitch Credit Rating Agency, which is the highest possible credit rating. And there's a few points why we've got that. Fitch have deemed us competent as fund managers. I'm a relationship manager. We have three experienced guys who manage the fund. Our conservative investment guidelines, excuse me, and the credit quality of the portfolio. So when I use the word portfolio, it's not a portfolio of stocks and shares. There is no exposure to the stock market with this fund at all. It's literally just placing money with the banks and building societies. Now, that list of banks and building societies, those institutions are monitored daily. If there's any credit rating upgrades or downgrades, they could potentially be added to the list or taken off the list. These institutions have to have a minimum credit rating themselves of A minus, which is a pretty strong credit rating. And we can only ever place up to 10% with any one counterparty at any one time. So we can't put all our eggs in one basket. It's only up to 10%. As you can see from this list, there are no Russian banks. There are no banks from the Middle East, Belarus, or China. It's a UK domiciled fund, so there's no currency risk, if you like, with these particular institutions. But they are, actively managed. We look at this list on a daily basis. And the actual objective, if you like, is to deliver strong returns for our clients rather than maximizing our own profitability from a CCLA point of view. Two things it does really, it sort of, if you like, the drivers of the yield are base rate, so Bank of England base rate and interest rate expectations. And if you look at the slide, they do kind of mirror and match each other pretty much almost perfectly. So I'll come onto the yield right at the end that we're currently providing on it's a daily yield. I'll come onto that, but the slide sort of gives it away slightly. What does cash offer you? Well, it offers you certainty and security. It offers you liquidity. So our fund is instant access withdrawals on demand. So many of the existing clients on the call hopefully will be able to confirm. If you send through an instruction before 11:30 in the morning, you get your monies back same day. So it's same day access at no charge. There's no cost. You can make as many transactions as you want. There's no charges for that. There's no charges for things like statements. That's all provided with the service. And it just shows you at the bottom there the returns and potential risk and cash being, of the lowest of the risk elements there. So we would class this fund as low risk, but not no risk. And what I mean by that is, and this is incredibly unlikely, but could it happen? Of course. It could happen. If one of those banks and building societies were to fail, that would be the risk. But we think we mitigate risk by diversification, the strong credit rating, A minus, that they have to hold, and we can't put all our eggs in one basket. So the maximum there that I mentioned of 10%. Another sort of point around risk and governance is, so I'm employed by CCLA. CCLA are a separate legal entity to the PSDF. So we have a custodian bank, which if you like, safeguards the assets, so they can't be commingled. So the incredibly unlikely event CCLA were to become insolvent, your monies would be safe. They're safeguarded the assets by our custodian bank. So there's an extra layer of kind of governance, if you like. So I keep mentioning what the fund does. So it's we manage it on a very conservative basis. Plain cash products, instruments with well-rated banks, so call term certificates of deposit, those kinds of things we'll be using. We feel the kind of products councils do feel comfortable using. As I mentioned, there's no exposure with this fund. I get asked this a lot. There's no exposure whatsoever to the stock market, and I will keep mentioning that. And there's no exposure to things like derivatives or asset-backed security. So there's nothing, I suppose, exotic, if you like, within this portfolio. It's just placing money with the banks and building societies. I hear this a lot. I travel the country a lot, seeing clients. I'm at events a lot, regional, national events. One thing I hear quite a lot is fewer and fewer banks and building societies accepting deposits and accounts. In my experience, they don't really understand what you do as a town and parish council, which can be incredibly frustrating for clerks and RFOs and deputies. And I only have to look at, my sort of local high street. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, there would be 10 banks on the high street. Now you're lucky if there's one sometimes. So banks don't really understand you guys, and they're not accepting as much as they used to. You won't get that problem with us. You're not going to get that service from us. The minimum on this investment for new clients is 25,000. So if you're a potential client and this is of some interest into you, 25,000 is the minimum. Jeremy Hunt, UK banks too slow to raise interest rate for savers, and Dame Eagle, where all of your rates are currently under 1%, even though the bank rate is now 4%. So that is very true. The FCA in the past have put pressure on the banks and building societies because we did have at one period of time 14 consecutive interest rate rises. And, again, this is not me, it's my experience dealing with clerks and RFOs that even though the Bank of England base rate was up at, I think it's 3.75, it's been up at 4, I hear a lot of clients saying they're getting anything from 0.5, sometimes up to 2, 2.5% with their bank and building society on some, significant sums. I'll come on to the yield in a little bit towards the end, but yeah, these are just some quotes that, clients are perhaps only receiving around 1, 2% with their bank and building society at the moment. The diversification, as I mentioned, we think we mitigate risk by the diversification of various banks and building societies. The liquidity is instant access withdrawals on demand. The yield, which we find, it's not the main driver. I use the acronym earlier, SLI, security being the number one objective of this fund, then the liquidity element, then the yield. The current yield at the moment is 3.7029. That is the current yield for, so that is the yield for new clients coming in under £1 million. Existing clients, or clients who have over £1 million, potential clients, will be getting, I think it's about 3.80%. So there is a management charge to this fund, but that management charge is taken from the gross income we earn on the fund. It's never charged to you, the client. So it's not going to come off your capital or your income. You won't ever even see it. So if you're a new customer, let's just say you're 25,000. It's a daily yield. The current yield is 3.7029, and that's net of all fees. So that's what you'd be getting as of now if you became a new PSDF client. Yeah, I like this slide. We call this one the Bumblebee. It just gives you an idea of all the clients we've got dotted around the country. As you can see, the bulk of our client base is town and parish councils. I often do a quiz. Some of you have probably heard it actually. Sort of our most northerly client, and then we've got one down in the south. It's actually the Isles of Scilly, who are a client of ours, a principal authority. But I believe the most southerly client, sort of if you were travelling by road, I'm pretty sure is, and this is all public information, I'm pretty sure is Penzance Town Council. And right at the top in Scotland, we have a principal authority, and that's Moray Council, which is in Elgin, apparently just off of the Cairngorms National Park, which I'm told is stunning. So yeah, lots of clients. And also we have clients in the devolved nations as well, not forgetting Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. Many of you even would have seen this. So we've been, I suppose you could use the word acquired if you like, but we call it a partnership with Jupiter Asset Management. That was all sort of rubber stamped in February of this year. But there is a sort of 25-year covenant in place which protects our mission statement, our brand name and process. You'll be pleased to know the investment teams and client-facing teams, which include myself, it's business as usual. We actually see this as an exciting opportunity rather than anything else. Sort of greater scale up, greater capability within the Jupiter teams, and sort of a distribution and sort of growth point as well. That's fine. So there was a question earlier, which I'll cover. It's not within the pack, but it was a very good question. We hear this a lot about, I suppose, ESG, but there is a paper which I can forward with the pack about our sustainability approach for cash funds. So that's something we do look at and evaluate. We know it's an important point for town and parish councils. So we'll look at things like the quality of the institution's corporate governance, their sort of compliance with laws and regulations, which are covered under global standards. Interestingly, their ranking in CCLA's Mental Health and Modern Slavery Benchmark. And really the strength of the institution's coal, oil and gas expansion policies. And that's done externally by a data provider called Sustainalytics. But there is a whole paper on this, which I can forward. It's only two or three pages, but it might be something of interest that I can send round to you all. I think that's me done. I didn't want to take up too much of everybody's time this morning. Thank you for listening. Before the end of the podcast, please be aware of the following. The Public Sector Deposit Fund, PSDF, is a short-term, low-volatility, net asset value qualifying money market fund. Please remember that the purchase of PSDF shares is not the same as making a deposit with a bank or other deposit-taking body and is not a guaranteed investment. The yield of the fund can change daily and is not guaranteed. Although it is intended to maintain a stable net asset value per share, there can be no guarantee that it will be maintained. Notwithstanding the policy of investing in short-term instruments, the value of the PSDF may also be affected by changes in interest rates. If interest rates on sterling deposits and instruments become negative, investors may be charged these negative interest rates, which will reduce the value of their investment. Whilst CCLA aims to maintain the PSDF's credit rating, there can be no assurance that the rating will be maintained and is therefore subject to change. The PSDF does not rely on external support for guaranteeing the liquidity of the fund or stabilising the net asset value per share. CCLA is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Excellent. Thank you, Jamie. That was a great session. Loads of questions from the participants. And also, actually, you got loads of interest from that. A lot of people dropping their email address in there wanting to follow up with you. So I'll share that with you. But
fantastic.
Just take a step back. What one takeaway, what's your headline takeaway that you want after we've got through your talk, all those questions, if you want to reset the room, what's the one takeaway you would like to be good?
That's another great question. So, you know, the takeaway after the, you know, this webinar is that it's an educational piece for our existing and potential clients. And I suppose the one takeaway will be that there are alternatives to the banks and building societies. I suppose that would be my one key takeaway.
Yes, there is, yeah. And also I think, as you said in there, because you normally think like investing your money, you can't access it.
Yeah, that's not the case, yeah.
Exactly.
So we will cover that in it's been covered, or we'll cover that in further detail for sure. Yeah.
So going back to you,
Yeah.
we've got a couple of questions we normally ask the guest speaker. We've got the pay it forward question. I'll come back to that in a minute,
Yeah.
but we also want you to give yourself advice, your 18-year-old self. But before you give me the scene. Tell me what Jamie is doing at 18 and what is he thinking? What's going on?
I think Jamie at 18 is, if I could look back now, what would I tell my 18-year-old self?
No, but I want to know who Jamie is first before you t speak to that person. So where is he? Where is he living? What is he doing? What is he
Okay.
into?
So he is with his mum and dad still, his little brother.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
living at the time in Beckenham in Southeast London. And at that time, I was playing lots of tennis, playing lots of cricket, and just kind of, as you do, hanging out with your friends at the
Doing
time.
A levels as well, I assume.
I did actually, I don't know if it still exists. It was called a GMVQ, which is like a business course, which was on the back of my GCSE, so within the sixth form at my secondary school. I'm not sure if a GMVQ still exists, John. I haven't heard of that. I mean, we
Not
don't.
I'd ask ChatGPT or Gemini and they won't know what you're going on about.
Think it stands for something like a general national vocational
Okay,
qualification,
so
if
you
I
didn't
can
go the
remember.
cool, so you didn't do the A level route, you did
I
that.
did not, no. And no, but that was, yeah, we're going back about 20, 26, 27 years ago. So it's tough to remember, to be fair, as you're getting older, what you were doing at the time. Just generally normal stuff that,
So you
to.
walk up to Jamie, he's just finished some tennis. Can you give him some advice? Do you need to give him any advice?
You do need to give him advice. And what I would say to Jamie is, I would say work hard, work really hard, take all of your professional qualifications and exams. And from that point of view, and I'm sure some of the listeners sort of may concur and agree with me, I think I didn't know what I could achieve if you kind of put your mind to it, and put yourself out for a sustained period of time and suck at things, really. And I think from my personal point of view, I've taken great pride in my own self-improvement. And that's what I tell an 18-year-old Jamie. Just work really hard and have fun along the way as well. You've got to have some fun.
Okay, I'm
So.
going to ask you. I'm going to be. So you're giving yourself. You're telling yourself work hard. So I'm assuming you haven't worked hard.
Well, I have, yeah. But now I think as you get older, you mature. And
Yeah.
it's. And I, you know, a few years ago, I was proud of myself. I did all my professional qualification exams and worked so hard to complete them. So. And pass them all. So I think that would be the thing.
You would have, I guess, so you would have wanted to maybe get those wrapped up a little bit earlier.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And I take great pride in my work. So I think as you get older, maybe emotional maturity as well, I suppose you gain along the way. Yeah, I'd also say find, if possible, find a good mentor at work who is willing to give up their time and sort of educate you, which is always key. I think that's really key for maybe people starting work or start of their career. Someone to act as a mentor for you, I think is absolutely key.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. That is actually better advice. And also, would you be a mentor? Like, if someone's interested in looking for a mentor, would you be up for it? Have you
Absolutely,
had
I'm
it?
always happy to share my knowledge and what I know about CCLA, the sector, and investment management. So yeah, absolutely. I think we should all give our time to people who show initiative and who are keen to learn.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
even when you're older. Well, when you're really everyone has a coach mentor, even like top CEOs of big
Of course.
companies do. So we've got the pay it forward question. So Tom Sykes, he asked a really good question. Our previous
He
guest,
did. It's a tough one.
so we do pre-warn our guests about them because you want to put a bit of effort into them, not only answering the question, but you've also got to ask a question for
Yeah,
the
for
guest.
sure, for
So
sure.
Tom said, if you could take one word from another language that really does the heavy lifting in that language and add it to English, what would that word be?
So, Tom, that is a great question and a really tough one. So, I have arrived at an answer, and I will tell you after my answer that how I found this word. So, it's a Greek word, in fact, and I would say I can't speak Greek. I don't have any Greek relatives, so. And the word is actually myrarchy, which means finding joy in effort. So I just happened to find this. I'll tell you after how I found this, but it's kind of like doing work with soul and passion, and I suppose getting a lot of satisfaction in your work, which I think is a really impactful word. And how I found this word was, it's actually quite funny. We were looking at kitchen door handles, and the company was called Meraki. And I just happened to Google the word, thinking, well, I've not come across this before. And then it came up with the meaning of the word Meraki, which I actually found really impactful and really, really cool, actually. So that would be my answer to the question.
As
Finding
well, cool. That is a lot.
joy and effort. And I think, that's a key takeaway. Doing your work with soul passion and getting satisfaction from the work you're putting in.
Yeah, I would say yeah, because that's a really good one. I love that, Jenny. I mean, there's also like a flip side to it when you are, because you've got, it goes back to your original point, your 18-year-old self, and like work hard. So sometimes it is intense. You are putting that effort in. And for myself, like running a business and trying to do everything else, sometimes there are pinch points, and you just got to like say, I'm accountable for everything. This effort I'm putting in is because of me, and look at all the positives that are coming out of it. So find happiness in it. So I mean, the same, like I do a lot of running, and you have to do hard effort sessions, but they're going to pay back. Yeah, so Meraki, nice one.
That's a great word. Now everybody's been using that now.
Just
Meraki.
slip that in.
Yeah.
I don't know in what context you use it, but anyway,
No,
hashtag Meraki, let's
yeah.
go. So your question.
Yeah, so I've done a bit of thinking about this one. I think I've come up with a pretty good question. So my question, John, will be to the next person on your podcast. What is the skill or attribute you have developed that you have benefited the most from?
Spicy. Like it.
That's a bit of a one
Yeah,
to
I wonder
think.
how I would answer that one. Skill attribute. I'm gonna have a crack at answering it before we sign off. But I think mine is I don't know. I think it's like I'm very interested in people.
That's a great attribute to have.
Yeah, and I might dive a little bit deeper than normal people would in questioning things. So then I uncover their skills actually, and then connecting the dots. I think, connecting the dots. I think that's one. Anyway, yeah. Right. Thanks for the whole session. Really
No,
appreciate
it's been a
it.
pleasure.
Get you back at some stage, I am sure.
Love to.
Yeah. Have a good day, dude.
You too. Enjoy Cornwall. Thanks, John.